Following program is intended for mature audiences.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Let's talk football.
Let's talk football.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
There's been a lot of complaints already. Bad language, smoking grass.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
All right, got to wait about another 11 and three quarters months. I could start looking at the draft right now for Green Bay, I think. No idea what pick ours is going to be, but...
I'm sure there's a mock draft out, right?
Oh, I bet Kuiper already has his big board put together. I'm not, like I said last week, I'm not an ESPN Plus subscriber, but I would bet his big board is out. And, yeah, there's probably somebody out there that has a mock draft.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm, like I said this morning when I was doing my commentary, I have to go next year. I don't know what capacity, but like looking at the mass of humanity that was at the draft at Detroit, like way in the back, I don't know that I want to be part of that.
Didn't they say like 270,000 or something like that?
Yes.
That's like what? Almost five Janesvilles?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And, like, I don't, you know, I wanted, and I've been prepping Wildy for this since Green Bay was awarded the draft. Like, hey, man, I'm coming and I'm staying in your guest room or your basement, sleeping on, like, whatever. And I talked to him early last week, and he's like, yeah, that's not happening.
It's like $6,000 to go day one.
Really?
Yeah. One of my buddies told me, like, all the hotels up there are already sold out. Like, Oneida was offering big money packages. They're all gone. It's like 6,000, 4,000, 2,000 or something, or like the day, something like that. It was a lot of money. I was like, God damn, I don't know. The only way I think I would do that as a non-Packer fan is like, would have been like this year, like because the Bears have the number one pick, but it's like, I'm not paying $6,000 to go watch my team have the 23rd pick.
No.
Like, what is that?
And... I guess I'll have to see about media opportunities.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way I'm going to be able to pull this off, you know, and not be out. Because there's no way I'm paying that either.
No. I mean, it would be awesome. It'd be a cool experience. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I'm not a big enough draft nerd where, like, I would be willing to shell that out.
Right.
You know, like, it would have been hard to shell out that kind of money to go to the finals.
Right.
Like that's one where you still got to think about it. Like, holy shit!
How much would World Series tickets have cost you that one year?
God,
how much would that have been?
I don't know
for even a decent seat.
I mean, maybe a couple hundred, maybe five.
Okay, well that's not bad.
But you know, like Bucks tickets weren't. I think I paid like $250-ish for each ticket. But like, if they'd have been a grand, I would have paid that. If they'd have been like $3,000, I'd have been like,
no way.
I got a nice TV.
Yeah, so we'll have to explore that. Michael was obviously, you know, set to come with me, so we'll see. We got a year to figure it out. I don't know what it's going to happen, what it's going to look like, how we're going to... I have no idea.
Okay, so this year, and I know they've done it now with the different cities, this year being in Detroit, they bring out, Eminem...
Yes,
to kind of be the big.
Who would be the Green Bay?
You know who does Green Bay bring out that is a non-sports
figure
that could excite the masses? That's a local guy. I'm not saying he's from Green Bay, but a Wisconsin guy.
God, I don't even know.
I mean, it feels like to me it's like a J.J. Watty.
Yeah,
that's who it'll end up being. It'll be like J.J. Watt, Joe Thomas. You know,
yeah, but even then, like, the majority of people there will be Packers fans. So it's like, what does that do for them?
Okay, sure.
So, like, that, as everybody, like,
I don't think you're bringing Favre.
No, not right now.
I don't think that
the ideal
would
person would have been Bart Starr.
Of course.
Would have
of
been.
Of course. Any of those, Starr, Nitschke, any of those guys from that era.
But there's no.
But now it's like, who is
nobody
it?
Nobody left.
Who,
I don't know.
Who's it going to be?
It's a great question.
Barry Alvarez?
That doesn't do anything.
That doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure who moves the needle in that regard.
Is it like a singer, an actor?
I honestly don't know any significant...
I think Mark Ruffalo's from like Waukesha, are we going to bring the Hulk out?
How about the dude from Appleton who eats Big Macs, Don Gorski? Can we bring him?
I think Red Foreman is actually from Wisconsin originally. I know the mom in Malcolm in the Middle was from Wisconsin.
We got to get rid of the people who are just randomly coming out to announce picks.
Well, don't ever underestimate how much these leagues, especially the NFL and the NBA, like to throw a bunch of other shit at you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, and I know it's all for TV to fill time. I get it.
It is.
But, like, it's just... like,
it's bad.
Can we just get to the draft? Can we just watch the picks?
That's it.
I liked it back in the old days when they just showed a lot more war room stuff.
Yes.
You know?
But, like, now all they show from the war room
is they're all high-fiving.
Yes. Somebody's talking to somebody.
I got exactly who I wanted, even though...
Hand off the phone, go talk to him, and then we high-five.
Right.
But, like, that doesn't do anything for me.
No.
And granted, I know they're not going to show boards, and they're not going to tip anybody's hand.
Like, where's Yellow T. Sal Palantonio standing outside of the Eagles complex?
Where's Ed Werder outside of the Cowboys complex?
I mean, we can't talk about Mort. Rest in peace.
No, we can't. But those are you're right, John Clayton, the same thing. But, I don't, but and then they brought, in the second round, they brought one player from each team back to announce the picks. And immediately the first thing they all do is, "What's up, Detroit? I just got to say, and I just wanted to say, and it's great for the..." I'm like, shut the fuck up and announce the pick. And half the time they butchered the person's name. Absolutely slaughtered it.
There was one, I think it must have been the third day. There was a Viking fan that came out, and he was getting booed. Because he's a Viking fan in Detroit.
Yep.
And he, like, starts telling this story about, like, how he was a Viking fan when he was a little kid. And I'm like, dude.
That's what I mean.
Like, who?
That's what I mean.
Who's this for?
I don't know. And God bless our military servicemen and women, but they had way too much of that stuff going on, too. It's just pageantry stuff. It's just so the NFL can look good to that community.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I know there's a time and place for that. I am a sucker for the dad or the mom coming back from overseas and surprising their kid and hug them and everybody's crying. And I get dusty of all the, I get that. There's a time and a place for that.
It's not the draft.
It's not the draft.
It's not the draft.
It's not.
No.
All that being said, of course I enjoyed myself. Except for...
I enjoyed the first 9 picks, man. I was having a ball.
Okay, but... we're going to get to yours first because it's going to take a lot less time. How did you wind up with 5 instead of 4? What was the trade and when was it?
They traded back in the 4th round with Buffalo and got a fifth rounder.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. So you wind up with 5. Your first one, obviously, was expected.
Yes.
And then were you really curious about what they would do after all these quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison Junior and everybody's going off, and you have, what were your options at 9 that you thought were in play?
I thought obviously Odunze, because he was still there. I thought perhaps one of the DNs, Verse or Turner, were two guys that had been there, or possibly trading down because there was still, you know, you still had Bo Nix and somebody else. One of the other quarterbacks was still on the board.
Was Penix taken by that point?
Yeah, he went 8.
He went 8.
Yeah, he went to pick before.
McCarthy?
Yes, McCarthy. McCarthy and Nix were still there. Okay. So I thought, you know, maybe there was a chance he trade back. But I'm glad they did what they did at the end of the day. I think they got 2 of the 5 or 6 best guys in the draft. Weirdly, I'm almost more sure Odunze is going to be awesome than Caleb Williams. I say that because the quarterback position is such a crapshoot. It's not necessarily anything about Caleb Williams, but, I mean, Odunze, you watch this guy on tape, you hear everybody talk about him. You know, he had an opportunity to play with a really good college quarterback last year in Penix, and he really exploded and had an amazing season. And what kind of sealed it for me was his interview. And when I heard him speak, I was like, oh, yeah, he's not these other receivers. He's not Malik Nabers wearing his sunglasses and barely putting a sentence together. This dude sounds like he's an intelligent, humble, eager guy.
Hardworking
guy. And is very excited to be on the Bears. Like, this is where he wanted to be. So that was cool. Obviously, getting Caleb Williams number one, you know, there's still, first of all, first time they had the number one pick in like 90 years, which is kind of crazy.
Granted, it wasn't theirs.
It wasn't theirs, yeah, but still, they had it last year, so right. Six, one half dozen of the other, but just that it had been that long was kind of crazy. But even knowing that you're picking Caleb, I was still kind of on the edge of my seat, like,
what half? Is this happening?
Until he's announced. It's still the Bears.
Okay, so now let me ask you, as a Bears fan, before we get to the other picks, is there a little bit of PTSD going on with the previous quarterbacks that you've taken early, where it's like, okay, we were all sure about those other guys, and we're still sure about this guy, but like I texted you, I think you should have a little bit more confidence or hope, because I think this is probably the best team that is surrounding a new quarterback than either of the previous few.
100% agree with that. With Trubisky, he was a reach, and everybody knew he was a reach, so you didn't have a lot of confidence there, and there was no real body of work in college to look at and get excited about. And with Justin Fields, I think he was the fourth quarterback pick that year. I mean, they traded up to get him, but they didn't, you know, he wasn't a top five guy. With Caleb, we've seen it. He's got the pedigree in college. And, I mean, he was really the consensus number one. I mean, there's always that draft shit of like, I'd take Jaden Daniels number one. It's like, no, you wouldn't. If you had the number one pick, you'd take Caleb Williams. He's been the number one pick for the last 2 years. He probably would have went number one last year if he had come out. So, in that respect, I'm extremely confident as opposed to the other two. And, yeah, I mean, the Bears, I mean, you know, somebody was rattling off on TV all the guys they got now on offense, and I just kept having flashbacks to, like, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, yeah. Matt Forte, and it's like, okay, we've seen them try to load up offensively before, and it did not work well. But you had kind of a mercurial quarterback. We might have another mercurial quarterback, I don't know, but I think we have a better player this time. And I don't know, man. It's a rare opportunity to say, God, the Bears might have had the best offseason in football. Whether that translates to anything during the season, time will tell. But when you look at the holes they filled and who they're bringing in and what they had to give up to get that stuff, I think they're sitting really nice.
I saw when I was printing stuff out this morning and, you know, just to get lists of draft picks to go through, and whatever site I went to, I can't remember. It was one of the national ones. They had listed the Bears as a grade as an A-. Mm-hmm. I thought that was fair.
I think that's fair. Yeah. If you have the number one pick and you have two top 10 picks and you end up getting who most people mocked you to get.
Right.
You know,
I was actually surprised they got that high for taking the punter in the fourth round. And granted, it's probably the best punter in recent memory. There was a lot of talk about him when he was at Iowa, and you've seen him boot 70 yard punts. I mean, the dude is unbelievable. Yeah. And like we were talking about this special teams, like I think late last week, or I was talking about it with somebody in the weekend. It's like, and I'm not defending or criticizing the pick whatsoever, but it's like, if you really want a dude that you think can pin guys and get you out of trouble and flip the field, it's like, you don't understand, if you're playing chess and not checkers, that's a big weapon to have, especially if it's a guy like that. Fourth round pick, I'd be curious to see who took him after that and where. You know what I mean? Like, what was his real value while the Bears thought, like, we better get this guy before he's gone. Like I want to know that. But I thought, you know, that's a great weapon to have so long as he can do that. They got the offensive tackle from Yale. The Packers had him in for a visit. I thought they liked him. And then there was a defensive end, I think, was the last pick, mm-hmm. who I hadn't heard of. But those are your five.
Yeah, the third rounder, the offensive tackle from Yale, whose name I can't pronounce.
Amagaje.
Okay.
Yep. I only watched a YouTube video to learn how to do that.
Okay. Sounds like a little bit of a project, you know, but a nice young piece to give him some O-line depth because we know that you're going to need it. You know, and everybody seems to like the Bears' tackles. You know, the kid they drafted last year, right, and then Jones at left tackle. I mean, they grade out well. Everybody seems to like them. And then the interior of the Bears' line is okay. It's good enough. So to get a little depth is nice. The punter thing is like, I think as fans, we cringe at it. But I have not really heard it criticized by anybody in like football circles. Where in past years when teams have done that, a lot of times they've been criticized. I haven't heard that. So, I heard him compared favorably to McAfee as a player. And McAfee was really good. He was really important to those Colts teams when they didn't really have very good defenses and pinning those teams back and making them have sustained, you know, 75, 80 yard drives is a big deal or even deeper than that. So we'll see. But, you know, and then the kid they got from Kansas, the defensive end, Cooper Miller, I believe is his name. First 2 years at Minnesota, didn't do much, transferred to Kansas to play for former Whitewater coach Lance Leipold, and really had a kind of a breakout year. I heard a lot of people thought he was a potential third rounder. So, you know, for him to slip to fifth and fill a position of need, that's nice.
Do they know why he slipped?
I didn't hear. Right.
I don't know if it was an injury concern, personal character concern.
I don't know. Right. That I didn't hear. But, you know, I still think that they've got some work to do on that defensive line. And I think, you know, when cuts get made, there's always a couple of guys floating around that teams can pluck. The Bears are going to have some money to play with. So I would look for them to shore it up there. But, yeah, I think all in all, considering they only started out with four, ended up getting a fifth pick, they had a pretty nice draft.
Mm-hmm. You didn't take a look at any of the undrafted free agents, anybody you heard of or anything like that?
Well, I saw the kid from Platteville's going to the Bengals.
Yep.
And somebody else Lasik. From Wisconsin, I think, is going to the Bengals. I can't remember.
Oh, Non-Jametta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But that was really all I saw.
Okay. The guy from La Crosse is going somewhere, an offensive lineman. I can't remember where. But that's not, I think he was an offensive lineman. I don't think he was a defensive lineman, but he's getting a shot. You know,
how good's this kid from Platteville?
Really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
is he D end?
D end. Okay. He is a game changing D end.
Huh.
So
what is he kind of like I hate to compare him to TJ Watt, but is he in that?
I mean,
in that mold maybe.
He has
speed
hand,
guy.
His hands on the ground.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I've seen him intercept a pass. He's got great hands. Outside, he can go to the outside. He can come inside. He's got a relentless motor, and he's fast. So I mean, I've seen him collapse pockets. He's good for the D3 level. He was really, really good. Now you're with the big dogs. I don't know, you know. Yeah. I mean, but we've seen D3 people do it. You know, I mean,
well, yeah, the Miners is still starting for Denver,
correct.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, that's something. So I think that's cool. The WIC is getting some dudes in to try and make some NFL rosters. All right. You want to go to the Packers quick?
Yeah.
All right. So not surprised with first round. Jordan
Morgan. You were really excited. I know.
There's my guy again, right there. But Michael and I were talking about it, and I'm not saying that I am regretting them not, or I'm justifying them not, or now that it's all good. But Michael brought up a good point, but it was in his breakdown anyway when I was reading Cooper DeJean's analysis. Iowa didn't play anybody. They didn't play anybody. So you can have good stats and good numbers and good analytics and good film when you're playing against the, as the O'Leary's like to say, the little sisters of the Virgin Mary in the Big Ten West and whoever they played non-conference. It's just, you just don't, you're not having top flight whatever. So it's like now you get a safety from Georgia. You think he's got a little bit better competition down there?
Yeah, for sure. And it continues your guys' love affair with Georgia defensive players.
He really likes that. But as far as the offensive tackle, not surprised. Gutekunst likes these versatile guys that can play multiple positions, which I was talking with a couple of people at work today. It's like that's how the Packers have really had sustained success on the offensive line. The guy goes down at guard. We move this guy out inside, or we move this guy out there, and then we shuffle that guy and then insert that guy, and we're fine. And, like, generally speaking, they don't miss a beat.
Not much, no.
And this is another one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And what sealed it for them was they watched the film of them playing UCLA and the really good defensive end. I think he was the top guy taken off the board.
Latu or yeah, whatever, yeah.
Defensively. And this dude just absolutely manhandled him. So it's like, okay, if he's the best guy out there and this guy's making him look silly, tape don't lie. Here you go.
Well, and you're about to invest $150 to $200 million in your quarterback.
Right.
I mean, you'd like to maybe get the best safety on the board, but you got to protect your investment.
Right. So I get it. That doesn't mean I didn't like it
right,
at the
right.
time.
No, I get you.
And now the Eagles got him, who we got to see them fucking first week down in Brazil.
Mm.
So now we get that happening. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of PTSD going on there. Second round, Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from A&M. I thought that was a steal. Some people had him in the first round, and he dropped all the way to 45. I thought that's awesome. That's probably going to be my favorite pick of the draft. Hopefully, if it pans out, because Packers need so much help at linebacker. And then the Bullard guy from Georgia, some people had him even falling in the late first round and getting taken, and they get him at 58 in the second round. So it's, and again, it's a Georgia guy, it's a safety. He's probably seen all kinds of unbelievable receivers, and this is a guy who could probably start maybe day one.
Big hitter, right?
That yes.
That's kind of his thing.
Yes.
Yep.
Third round, I was interested in this, Marshawn Lloyd, the running back from USC.
Well, you got to have some depth there because Dylan's right. Not going to be around much.
No, longer. And they got him on a year deal to start with. And if this dude can show anything, that's probably it for AJ.
Yeah.
This year in Green Bay. The one that was criticized roundly was Tyron Hopper, a linebacker from Missouri. I hadn't heard of him. I haven't read anything about him. He was a transfer from Florida. All SEC team captain, went to the Senior Bowl. 4.5, 40. Apparently he's fast, so it's okay.
But all again, SEC, but he's fourth round and they're criticizing?
I don't know.
Huh.
Michael pointed out that his NFL comp at the time, they compared him to Oren Burks, which immediately should make all Packer fans go, oh, my God. So there's that. They took another safety from Oregon in the fourth round. They need help. I didn't watch Pac ball, so I don't know who that is. Offensive lineman from Duke in the fifth round. Another safety in the fifth round from Oregon State this time. Georgia State offensive tackle in the sixth round. And then the Tulane quarterback in the seventh round. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then they wrapped it with Kalen King, a corner from Penn State, who I saw going as high as like the second and third round, and he dropped all the way to the seventh, which I don't understand why that is. But he fell, and he fell a long way. So he could, like I told Michael, if he's healthier than Eric Stokes, he's already better than Eric Stokes because at least he's on the field.
Right.
So that's the Packers draft, the undrafted free agents, long snapper from the Badgers, linebacker, offensive lineman, tight end. I think that's all I can remember so far, but I mean, yeah, I plugged all the holes. Multiple. Offensive line, linebacker, safety. Very happy. Very happy. Creates more competition. Best guys are going to be out there. I don't have any problems with anybody until I see either them not on the field or they have an injury history or they get on the field and then they can't play. So it's like any draft. You know, I would give it a solid B. That's fine. B+. You did what you needed to do. Sounds like you got some value and some steals. Can't criticize. So,
division is going to be interesting this
yes.
year. All right, let's just kind of run through the first round here
sure.
a little bit. We'll hit some of the big
quarterback,
ones.
Quarterback, 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 quarterback.
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. Good luck. The Patriots stay at 3. A lot of people had them trade. Now they take Drake May. Yep. You got to figure he's going to sit most of the year behind Jacoby Brissett. Number four, Arizona takes Marvin Harrison Jr., which a lot of people talked about them also trading out of that pick, but you got to get Kyler Murray some. If you're going to keep Kyler Murray, you got to get him some help.
That's what I mean. You can't have him still throwing to nobody if you're dead set on him being your quarterback.
Yeah. Surprisingly, at least to me, the Chargers stayed put and took Joe Alt at five, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, but sounds like clearly the best offensive lineman in the draft. Mm-hmm. Giants take Neighbors at six. This J.C. Latham kid from over in Waukesha goes seven to the Titans, and I thought maybe broke Goodell's back when he picked him up in the bear hug when he came. When he did that, I actually thought to myself, like, dude, like, one of these guys is going to fuck him up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I were him, I would be going to my people being like, you got to tell these guys to stop doing that. Like, Goodell's like, dude, I'm 60 years old. Like, you can't be just hoisted me over your shoulders.
That's funny that they're still doing that, because I think some of their agents are in their head saying, like, this dude is not your friend. He's going to want to take your money.
I think it's just the thing of, I don't know,
in the moment being
must
happy.
Be. Yeah.
Hey, you're out here. I need to hug someone.
Yeah.
And you're here. Okay.
In what was probably the most shocking yes. pick of the draft, Atlanta, after giving $100 million guaranteed the next 3 years to Kirk Cousins, select,
coming off an injury,
coming off a torn Achilles, take Michael Penix Jr., who has had two ACL injuries and blown out both shoulders, and is 24 years old at number eight. As I heard Nick Wright say on his show, that tells me that they're not trying to win the Super Bowl. They're trying to not be great. They're trying to not be awful. And
great goal for your team.
Right? I mean, if you were a Falcons fan, I think you should be kind of pissed off. And it has nothing really to me to do with Penix particularly. But it's like, why are we paying Kirk Cousins $100 million when you as a franchise now are hoping he's really only there for a year? It's going to screw with your cap. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have some dead money somewhere because of this signing. Like, if you like this guy, why didn't you just not sign Cousins and draft this guy and go out and get a transitional guy?
So I read, and multiple people have said, some people in the front office have said this, that they're following the Packers model. That they have a quarterback that's entrenched, even though he just got there. He's not yours to begin with. And he's coming off an injury, but you draft this other kid to sit behind him for 2 years.
But the Packers model has ended up looking like it's going to work.
I know.
But it didn't work.
No.
Because Aaron Rodgers won two MVPs. He fucked it up.
And immediately all the people said, well, this is apples and oranges.
It is apples and oranges.
They don't even
care. Kirk Cousins couldn't hold Aaron Rodgers' jock.
So the justification on the whole process was immediately bogus. But that's how they're.
I know.
Well, that's how they're saying it's supposed to work.
And then the video of what appeared to be the general manager explaining to the owner. Arthur Blank,
yes,
why they did that. I mean, I don't know if that was the conversation, but ooh, yikes. Vikings trade up with the Jets, flip flop one spot to take J.J. McCarthy.
Okay. Won a lot of games.
I heard
pro-style offense.
I heard Dan Orlovsky say he's in a better situation weapon-wise than Caleb Williams, which I...
Because of two guys?
Hawkinson and Jefferson, yeah, and Aaron Jones he threw in there.
All right, okay.
But, yeah. I don't... Okay, maybe. But I don't know. I think... We'll see. I mean, seems like a reach to me, but...
Who did they just get also?
Darnold. Yes. Sam Darnold, yeah.
So who's your week one quarterback?
Well, might be Darnold initially, but I don't know, man.
Until he's so bad you have to throw this guy in or what?
I don't know. Denver takes Bo Nix at 12. Yeah. Again, reach, quarterback desperate, 25-year-old guy. Well, good luck. The Raiders end up sitting there at 13 with all the quarterbacks gone and end up taking the top tight end, Brock Bowers, who, a lot of people say might be the next Travis Kelce, but he ain't going to be that with people throwing the ball at his feet. Let's see, what else is of note here? First defensive guy off the board comes at 15. That's Latu from UCLA, goes to the Colts. Then we have a little bit of a run on that.
There was a positional run for several different groups.
Mm-hmm. The 24th pick to the Lions, Terrion Arnold, corner out of Alabama.
He fell.
He fell. And then
they traded up.
Yep. And then he goes and tells Detroit that they're going to have a star as he basically eye fucks the interviewee as he's talking to her. Like, that dude looked like he was going to take a bite right out of her. I like Molly McGrath, but come on, man. Have a little bit of decorum there, buddy. You're on TV. Chiefs, again, get, like, the fastest guy in the draft, this worthy kid out of Texas, who is just going to now take the top off of the defense like Tyreek did and probably going to buy Kelce another 2 years of being good.
They'll find a way to maximize.
And then the Cowboys take an offensive tackle, and everybody gets mad at him for it. So that's kind of the first round in a nutshell. I have to admit, after about 12, I started to lose a little interest because I stopped knowing who these guys were.
For sure.
I kind of don't care about a lot of the teams in the middle.
I mean, the Vikings trading up twice. Who did they jump back up to get?
Oh, yeah. Who was that? Let me find that quick.
Wasn't a receiver. Was it a defender?
Oh, it was Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama.
I thought Minnesota, aside from the McCarthy pick, was very aggressive.
Hey, they had him going in the top 10 in most mocks I saw to either Atlanta or the Bears in that 8-9 spot. So, you know, you saw him there, you wanted him, you went and got him. I guess I can't hate on that.
No.
Nope. But they traded, I think you sent it to me, they traded away like 12 picks to get these two guys.
Yeah, they had, after the first night, they had 5 left in the whole draft or something, or 4 left or something like that. So it's like, they gave up a lot to trade up twice in the first round. But if those are long-term dudes to lead your defense and lead your offense,
yeah,
you know, again, you have to withhold judgment on this stuff until another couple of years.
And I'm a firm believer in these drafts. Like, you know what? If there's somebody there that you think can help you win a title, either right now or very soon, go get them.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is the cost.
I agree. I 100% agree. I watched sporadically in the second and third rounds. The people who were announcing the picks were just chasing me away. At one point, I just put it on mute. I was like, I'm waiting until it shows up on the crawl because I can't take these buffoons.
Greenberg sounded like he hadn't slept in a month. He had, like, no enthusiasm
the whole time. Is he only guy that we have found to lead this coverage on ESPN?
It's ESPN is basically 3 dudes. It's Van Pelt, it's Greenberg, and it's Stephen A. That's it. Everybody else is playing second fiddle to those 3 guys. If they want it, they get it.
And I get it. I want... You need people there, and there's NFL Network. The college guys were on Herb Street, and everybody were on ABC, so they had a draft going simultaneously. NFL Network had their guys. I don't watch NFL Network. I don't particularly look at any of their guys' body of work. I'm there because I'm a draft nerd, and he was the big name when I started. I'm there to hear what Kuiper says. I have to deal with Greenberg. I have to deal with Booger McFarland. I have to deal with, was it Louis Riddick? Mm-hmm. Was he the other guy? Mm-hmm. I have to deal with those other clowns. All I want to do is hear what Mel says.
Sometimes you got to deal with Kuiper, too. But
Yeah. To a degree, yeah. But it's like, he's the one who's
him and McShay and those guys in that little circle, they're grinding
100% all year. All
long.
Year.
So, yeah.
Like, immediately they're probably watching
Doesn't mean they're not wrong.
No.
But they probably have the better idea of the true player, where a lot of these guys are guessing, and Booger went to LSU, so he likes LSU, and he likes D-tackles, and, you know, you get that stuff.
But it's like, Kuiper actually looks at the teams and what they need, and I would be curious to see what's on the monitors or what's in his binder or whatever, but when this guy comes up and they immediately say, Mel, what do you got? I want to know how much of that is off the top of his head.
I think a lot of it.
Or what he's reading.
I think a lot of it.
That's what I think.
I think he's a...
just a savant. Just a nut with that kind of stuff.
I did see he gave the Bears a B for the draft, and the reason he didn't give them an A is because he thought that anybody, including a hockey analyst, could have picked Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze.
Like, well, that's not really
a reason to downgrade
like,
them.
Why are you taking a shot at polls? Like, yeah. Those are the
What is he supposed to do?
Yeah. What if he? So if he doesn't take them, then what? It's a D. Like, come on.
You're not okay. All right.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that's getting points on the SAT for signing your name.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's
kind of the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
So. All right, I wanted to ask you before we get away from the draft, the Bears stadium kind of a thing, and I don't know how much you've read.
Not much.
Or, you know, Michael had some strong thoughts about it because he's in a Chicago suburb, even though the mayor says there's going to be no increase in Illinoisans' taxes or nor new taxes or anything like that.
You don't believe anything the Chicago mayor says. That guy's a clown. But it sounded like it was going to be, I read, partial taxpayer. Funded.
Yes.
So I don't know how you can not raise taxes.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question. But, I mean, a $3 billion stadium right next to Soldier Field and then another $1.5 billion in infrastructure. Because now the thing is when you build these stadiums, you build an area. You know, that's not just the stadium. You got to have other shit to do and other stuff around there. But they're putting it at a place that is already insanely difficult to get to. Right next to Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Which, again, makes me then wonder, like, what have you just done with this Arlington property? Like, what? You're just going to now sell it off piece by piece?
Maybe they'll build a practice facility there. Who
knows? You're
going
to bail on it? Well, they don't like the property assessment. They think they're going to have to pay too much on it. And the neighborhoods around there in the areas, they won't budge because it's an NFL team. We're not cutting you any deals. You got money coming out your ass.
Right.
You know, like, don't tell me you're in the poorhouse.
Well, it's the McCaskies, so if they can get somebody else to pay for their stuff, they want you to do that. It's the ownership groups in Chicago, man. Them Reinsdorf, the dude that owned the Cubs and didn't want to pay all his guys. Like, Jesus Christ. I mean, just do me one favor.
Okay.
Don't have grass.
That's the recurring problem.
Don't have grass. Like, either have that field turf or go back to the old school AstroTurf, but don't have grass.
The stuff that my grandparents' breezeway was lined with.
Hey, that's what they used. Stuff. That's what they had at Soldier Field when we were kids. People forget that. They had artificial turf at Soldier Field until, like, the 90s. And then they put grass in.
And it's
been a disaster because the weather, it just doesn't work.
No.
And it's not natural. It's all sod. So it's just never worked there. So they got to figure that out. But, hey, I don't think in the renderings it said anything about a dome.
Oh, it's domed.
It is domed.
Yes.
Okay. Retractable or fully domed?
Don't know.
Okay. I would think if you're going to do that, make it retractable.
Don't you isn't some of the advantage of playing as the home team in Chicago is using the weather?
Yes. I think you should still have it open when it's cold. But I don't think they will if it's retractable. But, you know, it's those windy days, it would be nice to be able to play in a dome because it's just tough to play football in some of those conditions.
Oh, but I understand that.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
All right. We got anything on the NFL? Or are we going to – we'll do some baseball.
Pro or con padded helmet?
I don't care. Do whatever you want. It honestly doesn't bother me.
How about instead of wearing that stupid thing on your head, they just redesign a helmet with more cushion on the top?
Fine with me.
Can Rydell maybe get that done?
If you're going to, okay.
Put a bigger helmet on these fucking guys then. Like, you know.
If you're going to do this, are we allowed to hit harder and like do other, like can we,
well,
can
we give and take? Can guys lead with that now? Right. Like what's.
Now is it better
if
or
if it falls
worse?
Off, do we got to stop the play? Does he got to come out of the game?
I don't know. But if you're doing this for safety issues and to prolong, you know, that's fine. I mean, when I was talking to Wildy off air before we did our interview, like, this is a very big concern for people that have been out of the league for the last 10 years. Like, all the stuff that has come out about CET, players are constantly worried about themselves, looking for, patterns and consistencies, like, that are associated with, like, oh my God, am I starting to lose it? Am I concerned about, like, I want to keep my wit and I want to keep the brain function going? And it's like, this is a big concern. So, I mean, if players are coming into this league with a chance to sustain their careers and also kind of prolong not having these ill effects, I don't care. Is it going to change the product on the field? Probably not. Then I don't care. If it makes you feel better, fine.
It'll look weird, it looked weird when basketball players were wearing full tights under their shorts, but now everybody in the league does it.
Everybody does.
So,
yeah, I know, I don't care. You want to go to the Brewers or you want to lament the Bucks first?
Yeah, we can hit the Brewers quickly. Okay.
Boy, bad.
Rough weekend against the Yankees. Gave up 30 runs in two games.
Yes.
But as somebody said, if they had lost 1-0 and they lost 3-2, it's the same. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not.
It's
you gave
not.
Up 30 runs in 2 days. Your pitching staff right now is...
I would rather not get lit up than have my offense not put anything
together. Well, your pitching staff's hanging on by a thread right
now. Yeah!
Wade Miley out for the year. I'm not surprised with the blown out elbow. Hate to see that, but, you know, Miley tends to get hurt.
And he's got a lot of miles.
Jacob Junis got hit in the neck.
What the fuck was that?
And hasn't pitched in... I think he was already on the injured list when he got hit in the neck.
He was out there on the injured list, and he got hit.
And he hasn't pitched. He hasn't been back. You know, Colin Ray's been okay. Peralta's been pretty good. The bullpen's been...
Shaky moments.
They really missed Devin Williams at the back end. It just kind of puts everybody else in their spot. And then, obviously, the big one. This Yelich back issue thing is...
Not going away. Going away.
And, you know, I was thinking about it today, and I have a feeling that Yelich doesn't finish his contract, because I have a feeling he's going to end up retiring. If you can't play more than 2 weeks of baseball without being out for 3 to 4 weeks, like, other than, hey, I can't give up the money, why are you there? And I'm not even knocking Yelich. As we talked about, I talked about it last week. Like, I've had a bad back. You got a bad back. Like, it's bad. It sucks.
And he's in great shape.
Right.
Mine is partly because I'm a fat guy.
Well, and you got in a car accident.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you've got some other issues other than, but yes, he's in tip-top shape and he still can't get past this. So I'm concerned. I'm very concerned about it because he was playing great and they went from the second highest scoring team in baseball with him in the lineup to now they're the 14th. And they're having trouble scoring runs, not only with missing him, but now you're having some of these slumps. You know, Weimer can't hit. Churio's down around 200, which, you know, I'm not ripping on these guys. They're kids, but you know this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hoskins is kind of leveled out. He hasn't done a lot lately. You know, somehow they're still in first, and they're only 5-6 at home.
The home record's bad.
Which is really surprising because they're usually a really good home team. I mean, they're holding off the Cubs. They're a half game ahead of them right now. But I don't know, man. I'm concerned short term because this – I mean, it's nice to have pitching depth, but eventually you're going to run out of depth.
Right.
And they're about at that point. It's at least it feels that way.
Well, they play the Tampa Bay Rays for 3 starting tonight.
Who just got swept by the
– by the White Sox. They doubled their win total for the season in 3 games. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So if you struggle with Tampa Bay at home, might be a little cause for concern because then you got to go to Wrigley for the Cubs.
Yeah. And this is where, like, I already like Pat Murphy more than I ever liked Council. Council is just a whiny, you know, chicken neck baseball nerd. Pat Murphy's just kind of more of a old school baseball manager. So I already like him more. I feel bad for him. I mean, granted, he is in first, but I just don't know how long they're going to be able to hang on to that with this pitching staff
the way
it is.
It's a lot of shit to deal with. Yep.
I feel it's similar to the way I feel about Doc Rivers. Like, you can say what you want about these guys. When you're dealt a shit hand,
what else can you do?
Bluff your way into the pot so many times before you get called.
No, I don't know what else he's supposed to do
to
remedy this situation.
No.
You just keep calling guys up from AAA and saying, we didn't expect you to be in this position so early, but we need you.
Well, and then things are going bad, and you get a little bit of Murphy's Law, and you get the play yesterday where Judge slides into second, sticks his hand up, ball hits his hand, instead of it being a double play and you're getting out of the inning, the Yankees turn it into seven runs.
Yep.
And, you know, that's just kind of the way it went this weekend for them. And like you say, they're playing a team that's not playing good baseball right now, and you hope that maybe they can turn it around quickly because, yeah, if you struggle again here at home, oof.
Anything else in baseball kind of catching your eye? I haven't been looking at the league, right? We're a month in.
Not a lot. I mean, the White Sox and the Marlins and the Rockies are awful.
Oh, I didn't know Colorado was in that mix, too.
Somehow Houston is 9-19. They're in last in the AL West.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah, right. But no, other than that, yeah, it's still pretty early.
Have you been to a game since opening day?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not.
We were at one. And it was when we were playing the Mariners, and it was great. It was fun. Pete, you know, hooked us up, and that was great. Was able to take my daughter to the game again, and she has a great time with that. So
yeah, that's cool.
Hopefully going to be able to get there. I haven't been to ABC. It's just too cold.
Yeah.
To go to an outside.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been cold and windy and rainy, and
it just hasn't been pleasant.
No.
So, all right, let's get, I'm going to let you just kind of go here. And
I mean,
and
if you want to ask me anything, ask me.
I do.
Yeah, ask me.
No, I
don't really have like a rant or anything. Okay. I don't think, but maybe once I get going.
I mean, I don't watch a lot, and maybe what the things that I get frustrated with are maybe not as justified to a person like you who knows more basketball, but it's a turnoff for me as an average fan. The two technicals immediately on either side after the first couple possessions were like, what the fuck are we doing here? And it's just like, really? This is what we're doing. You know these two teams don't like each other. You know it's going to be
the fourth
chippy.
Time you've played. It's the ninth time you've played this year, and it's the fourth time you've played in a week.
And so, it's also the postseason.
Right.
So why are we being so sensitive? Like, and I didn't think anything was overly egregious until Portis actually swung and slapped that guy,
mm-hmm.
which you make contact and it's a physical altercation. I get that. But like the stare down after whoever was it, Siakam?
The little too short. Yeah. The him and Beverly got it. Yeah.
And then Beverly slapped after he made the whatever. And it's like, they both got it. And I'm like, really? This is, I don't like this, but so no Dame, no Giannis, no Lillard, or no Dame, no Giannis, and no Portis, and he's gone. So it's like those three, closer than I expected, I immediately thought it was going to be a blowout. Middleton's on one leg. I heard Bear talk, whoever the young guy, is it Andre Jackson
mm-hmm,
Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
He's good. Okay, there's hope for him that he's going to be a solid player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I have a thing with injuries, and it just bothers me. And I guess I said earlier you're playing you're playing chess, not checkers. And you said at the beginning of the playoffs, or even at the last end of the regular season, shut him down. No use bringing him back. You obviously still feel this way. You don't want either of them coming back to try and win this series, even if it could be potentially harmful.
Well, I don't know how serious the Dame thing. A strained Achilles, it sounds scary, but I don't know how scary that is in terms of, like, can you tear it? I don't know.
He was in a boot,
but he had strained it in the last week of the season, and he sat out, I think, the last two regular season games. So, and Doc said yesterday he didn't think that Dame was done for the series. So, if Dame can come back, I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as Giannis goes, there's really been no clear update as to where he is. He hasn't practiced. I know he went through like his most strenuous workout, I think yesterday. But you're down 3-1 in a series. Like, are you going to throw him in there in game five when he hasn't played in 3 weeks and just be like, all right, go get us 30-10 and play 37 minutes? Like, I just don't know how that's going to work. Like, sure. This is completely different than 2021 when he got hurt in the middle of the playoffs, missed a week, and then came back. Like, he was still in mode. He hasn't played in 3 weeks. He hasn't practiced at all. So his conditioning is going to be shit. I don't care how good of an athlete you are. You miss 3 weeks of professional sports,
you don't just pick it right back up when it's been a, when it's a lower body issue, you know. I was as upset at Portis last night as I've been with an athlete in a really long time. I thought what he did last night was one of the most selfish, immature things I've seen anybody on any team I root for do in years. I don't even know that I could go back to a particular point. When you're down Giannis and you're down Lillard, and you know how fucking banged up Middleton has been, that team is counting on you. And those guys in that locker room are counting on you to be there and produce. And for you to do that 5 minutes into the game, it's one thing if it had been chippy all game, and this happened with like 3 minutes left in the third quarter. It's still inexcusable, but it's a little more understandable. This is 5 minutes into the game. This was almost like my dad said. He goes, Indiana totally fucking baited him, totally baited him, and he took it hook, line, and sinker. And if I were one of those guys, and he was in there at halftime, I would have lit him up. I would have lit his ass up. And I don't think anybody on the Bucks does that because they don't have those kind of guys. But I would have been like, you selfish son of a bitch. Like, really? Like, what are you doing? We have 60 points, 15 rebounds, and 15 assists in street clothes. We're on the road playing for our lives, and you're going to do that? No. Unacceptable. I think that tomorrow will probably be his last game in a Bucks uniform, if I was a betting man. They could win tomorrow, maybe. But I think the writing's on the wall. I think this is the last go-around for Portis. Too inconsistent, too volatile. Can't trust him. I think this will be his last hurrah. But, you know, Friday. Go back to Friday night. You're down 20 at the end of the first. Looks like you know, I had a feeling in one of the two games in Indiana they would get blown out, and I figured it'd be game three. First home playoff game, young team, crowd going crazy. You kind of felt that might happen. Was so impressed with the Bucks coming back.
They tied it. I checked out. And yeah. Then I'm like,
well, they had
the lead. I'll just come back around. I'm like, no way.
They took the lead in the fourth. Middleton hits an unbelievable shot at the end of regulation to send it in overtime. Hits a bank three at the end of overtime, unfortunately, with 6 seconds left, which gave Indiana time for Halliburton to score and get fouled, and they lose by three. Dame gets hurt at the end. And then yesterday I thought was just a bunch. That was a couple of pros in Middleton and Lopez just having professional pride. I thought the way those guys played yesterday, Middleton fucking – Lisa Byington said it yesterday when he rolled his ankle in the first quarter or second quarter or whatever. She's like, he just can't catch a break. Just stepping on people's ankles, getting his ankle stepped on. I mean, just all the shit that he's been through the last couple years. And I've been critical of him and Lopez both, but those guys are pros, man. They got a lot of pride. They showed it in those last two games in Indiana. I have a feeling tomorrow is it. And to go back to these two games, I don't understand why, and this isn't necessarily just a Doc Rivers thing. This is definitely a basketball coach thing. It's kind of an all coach thing, but it's definitely a basketball thing. This reluctance to play the young guys. I don't understand why it took Doc and the coaching staff two games and a quarter to figure out to play Andre Jackson Jr. You have no athleticism on the floor. He's all athleticism. He can't shoot. We all know that. But he plays 1,000 miles an hour. He's all effort, and he's a ridiculous athlete. And that's what you're missing. And it's like, oh, okay, well, let's play that guy. He's the only guy the last two games that has a plus-minus on the Bucks. He was like +8 and +9 the last two games. Is he going to make mistakes? Yup. Is he going to foul people when he shouldn't? Yup. That's why you play him during the regular season. I was screaming for that all year. You got to play him. You got to play Beauchamp. You got to figure out if you can play these guys in a playoff series. You should have had him ready to go. Now, I give him all the credit. He's been ready, and he's played well. But I just don't understand why it takes these teams and these coaches so long to figure this out. Like, Jay Crowder's done, man. He's done. I don't even think he's going to be in the league next year. Gallinari, he's done. Play the young guys. Now, Beauchamp must be a complete idiot because the fact that he can't, he's not going in until Thanasis goes in. That's how buried down the depth chart he is. And this is the third coach now that he's had with the Bucks that has not wanted to play him. So that's not good for a first-round pick. But I don't know, man. Maybe Dame's back tomorrow. We'll see. I really hope that Giannis is not back tomorrow. I don't want them to play him in the series. I think anything now is complete desperation and not in the best long-term thinking of him and the team. And I'm not an advocate of guys sitting games out, but to think that you're going to win the next three games with a hobbled Giannis and a hobbled Lillard and a still playing but hobbled Middleton, and then what? You're going to go what? You're going to go play the Knicks, who are fucking rolling? And then what? You're going to go play the Celtics? Like,
realistic.
I think it's a wrap.
Okay.
I think it's a wrap. Boston surprisingly lost the game at home to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turned around and absolutely blew their doors off in game three. Game four is tonight.
Playing tonight, yep.
Orlando was able to win their two home games and tie up that series at 2-2. That one is tomorrow. Game five is tomorrow. Bucks game five tomorrow as well. Philadelphia, man, down 3-1 again. Joel Embiid probably not going to get out of the first round again. That Knicks team, man, they play their ass off. I got to give them credit. Like, Jalen Brunson, I don't really understand how he scores 40. It's insane. It's kind of like Isaiah Thomas a couple years ago when he was on Boston, and they had that little run where it's like, how does this guy keep getting 35 of these playoff games? Brunson's just on one right now. And that Knicks team, like I said, they play their ass off. That's going to be over soon. Thunder Pelicans tonight, game four. Thunder's up 3-0 in that one. Dallas and the Clippers. The Clippers blew a 31-point first-half lead yesterday, but hung on to win and tie that series up. The Phoenix Suns go out with a whimper, get swept by Minnesota. I mean, everything that could go wrong for the Bucks this year pretty much has gone wrong. I mean, I said to my dad today, if you're a believer in the basketball gods, which I am, they have paid a very heavy price for their title. The good fortune they got that year, not a healthy Jimmy Butler in round one, Harden and Kyrie go down in round two, Trae Young gets hurt in round three. The price they've had to pay for that, it's worth it. But it's been heavy because the Bucks are about to go 3 years in the playoffs with one series win. And in the last, nine playoff games, Giannis has played two. The Suns might be in worse shape.
I was just going to ask because their time at the top, and did they even get to the tippy top?
They played the Bucks in the finals.
Right, but did they go back?
They've never won. No.
So they got this close.
Up 2-0 in the finals.
And now you're going to get blown out in the first and now you get blown out in the first round.
Yeah.
In just 3 years time.
With the third highest payroll in basketball.
Ooh.
And paying a guy in Bradley Beal $160 million over the next 3 years, who you gave up all of your future draft picks through the rest of the decade for. He had 9 points yesterday in a closeout game at home. So either Booker or Durant's going to have to probably get traded. You'd probably get more for Booker, but I think if I'm Phoenix, I'd probably be more inclined to trade Durant. And the thought kind of crossed my mind, like, would I trade Dame for Durant? Probably. Yeah, I'd probably do that. money matches up, years match up. Yeah, I'd probably do that. I don't know if they'd do that, but I'd probably do that. But there's going to be heads rolling. They got a new owner. Coach could get fired. GM could get fired.
Clean house.
Might have to ship a star out. Yeah, it's bad in Phoenix.
Yikes.
Yeah. And, dude, this Minnesota team, I told you 3 years ago, Anthony Edwards, man, going to be a star, and he is a star.
I'm actually happy for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I mean, I really am, and I don't watch much of the Western Conference, but, I've watched those standings and have read those box scores and whatever, and they have had some very not good years.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to just start rolling in the playoffs right now in the first round.
It's cool.
It is.
It's cool. And, you know, I don't think they're going to win the title, but to be able to see Anthony Edwards on this stage and playing this way is cool. It's always kind of fun to see that. And then in the last series, Denver up 3-1 on the Lakers. The Lakers finally break their, I think, 11-game losing streak to Denver by winning game 4. Denver's not in trouble, but they're in a little trouble because Jamal Murray got hurt and strained his calf, similar to Giannis. Yeah. I don't think it's the same muscle, but he's questionable to play tonight. You lose tonight, and it's 3-2. You got to go back to L.A. for game 6 with maybe without Jamal Murray. I don't like that.
Okay.
I don't like that at all. Like, I think Denver needs to win tonight.
Close it out and yeah, just put that behind.
You don't want to play with your food.
And then next round would be
Minnesota.
T-Wolves.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
that's a bitch of a second round matchup.
Oh yeah. For both teams. I mean, yes. For a defending champ to have to play a team like Minnesota.
Is there a better Eastern Conference second round matchup that could be forecast?
I mean, you're looking at Knicks Pacers and probably Boston, Cleveland or Orlando.
So no.
No. I mean, Boston, New York in the conference finals might be okay, but I think Boston to win in 5.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's crazy. You look at this and you've got Jimmy Butler, Giannis, Dame, Embiid, Zion, either Kawhi, Paul George, Harden, and Westbrook, or Luka and Kyrie. Those guys on the Suns and LeBron and Anthony Davis all out in the first round.
It's a lot of star power.
It's all the old guys.
Old. That's what I was just going to say. It's all the old guys
and Giannis and Embiid. And Zion, because Zion's always hurt. But yeah, it's a little bit of a changing of the guard in the NBA right now. Like, the oldest guy that's a superstar that's going to move on is probably going to be Jokic. And he's 28. So, yeah, it's just going back to the Bucks, man. And it's going to be some hard decisions this summer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we'll talk about that in future podcasts when the season wraps up, whether it's next week or the weeks after when the playoffs, because the playoffs are what, into June?
Yeah, yeah.
When the NBA Finals slated for?
Like second week of June, usually, something like that.
So,
yeah.
All right, well, we just crossed the hour threshold. Do you have anything else? I don't really have much.
A couple of Badger basketball transfers.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Gus Yalden's going to Seton Hall.
Yep.
Chucky Hepburn going to Louisville for like $750,000, yep, which is like, okay. It's no wonder Louisville sucks since Rick Pitino left. You don't know really what you're doing if you're paying Chucky
Hepburn. How many wins did they have last year?
Under 10.
Yeah, I thought it was like 6-8, yeah, something like that.
They got a transfer coming in from, I think, Central Arkansas.
Central Arkansas point guard who's going to take Hepburn's place.
Yep, he's supposed to be a pretty good player.
He's got career highs of 15. Mm-hmm. I think 6-5.
I think he was player of the year, freshman of the year in that league.
Yes, yep, and he's been all-conference twice.
Yep. Didn't play this past year because of an injury, but apparently he's healthy and back, so that'll help with some of their guard depth.
Yep, and then just before I came over, they got a guy from Northern Illinois. I don't know what his deal is or where he's from or what his numbers are like, but I want to say it was a forward.
Okay.
I want to say
they need some size for sure, because otherwise, right now you're kind of looking at a Carter Gilmore in your starting lineup, and that's not something you want to see if you're a Badger fan.
After when I was reading the article this morning on the Central Arkansas guy, they said they had two open scholarships, and so this guy, I would assume, is going to take one of them. So they still have one left, and then whoever they can get to, you know, come walk on. And I don't know what that's like, but they got the two incoming freshmen, Freitag and Robeson. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
They're excited about Freitag
for sure.
You know, it's a freshman. You never know.
But they're going to be playing a lot of young guys
next
year.
Yep,
and it's just Blackwell's going to play a lot more. So that's kind of just what it is. But yeah, the whole thing about and we talked about this and. Joe and I were actually texting back and forth when I posted our podcast link about how it's some money, and he kind of rolled me down the whole, well, a walk-on is going to get this from this school. That's kind of a peg down from Wisconsin. And then if you want to go down even further, they're going to get this to go play here, and that's another peg down. So it's like the trickle-down effects, guys are going to get something from somewhere, anywhere. Like, it's not going to be about playing time and starting lineups and anything. That's not what it's going to be about anymore. It's going to be about how much am I going to get paid by this program.
I need to talk to Pat Miller or one of the Catchell kids about some retroactive NIL money for me. For my days back in the water.
What would you get? Maybe endorsement for Toppers? Something like that?
For sure. I could have done a PSA for the radio station.
For sure you could have.
You could have thrown some fruit. I mean, anything.
Oh man, that's great. All right, anything else?
No,
I'm good. We're kind of light on stuff, but
we hit it pretty much.
We're starting to get into a dead period.
Yeah, we are. We got the draft behind us now, and you know, once the Bucks
officially
get knocked out, we may go, you know, every other week or something. You know, see what's going on. But
spring season's kind of bumping up as we're trying to get these rainouts and postponements all taken care of.
God, spring sports are the worst.
It sucks, man.
I remember all our track meets.
They're awful.
Well, it was terrible.
I remember hiding under Mansfield Stadium while it just poured.
Yeah, just miserable.
It's like I know it's not feasible, and I know it'll never happen. It's like, move the spring season to the summer. I don't know how you can do it. You can't. I get it, but it's like, dealing with this weather just would drive me nuts.
Well, they had summer baseball for years, and now they got rid of that, right?
Well, there was a handful of schools that are like, this isn't worth it. You know, we're going to get everybody under the same schedule and umbrella and all that. It's like, I get it, but it's just...
It sucks.
It does. You know, you start prepping for a game, lining up a coach interview, get all the stuff, and then a couple hours before, like, hey, we're not playing.
Well, it's worse. It's for these teams where, like, you jam all these games in and you've got innings restrictions on the pitchers.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're throwing your fourth guy on a second straight doubleheader. And it's like, this is terrible quality baseball.
The teams that don't have any pitching depth are just, they're just not set to handle it.
Turns into the state championship game when Milton was there.
Right. Poor Bayport.
Good team just runs out of arms.
Poor Bayport.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Intentional Foul. Thank you for listening, downloading. Please subscribe and, of course, tell your friends. We would appreciate it. We'll be back maybe next week, maybe the next week. Who knows? But until then, I'm Josh.
I'm Dan.
Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Good luck, Bucks.